Guys, man, I'm glad to be with you again this month. It's been a few weeks. We've had Christmas, we've had New Year's, and hope you guys all survived it. Looks like you did. You made it here this morning, so congratulations on that. It's a great season to be with family and friends and just celebrate the birth of our Savior and take a little bit of time at the end of our year to process, you know, how did the year go? How did things end up? And then we always, at the new year, right, make some plans for what am I going to change? How am I going to improve? How am I going to make 2019 better than 2018 was? And man, Brave Hearts has been one of those things that's been consistent in my life that I am so glad that I've participated in and been a part of over the years. And I'm so glad that you're here this morning. I want to say thanks. If you look around the room, I mean, look around the room, guys. There's a lot of men here. And if you look at statistics in American churches right now, this group of guys right now literally is bigger than a big percentage of churches in America. And so God has called us with a unique opportunity as men of God to come together, be here on Tuesday mornings to be equipped, to be empowered, to be set apart and called into the ministry and building the kingdom. And I just, man, it's a blessing to be here with you guys and to enjoy building each other up, encouraging each other. And I can't think of a better place to do that than with a bunch of men. And we get to do manly stuff, right? And talk about God's word in that way. So we're gonna dive in. Last time I was here in December, before the holiday break, I started a new series called Five Things That Grow Your Faith. And we're going to be looking at five different things. Kind of did an introduction last time. And I started with this question. And kind of got you guys to thinking a little bit, if you are here, imagining with me a little bit, that if we were to think about our life, and we were to think about God, and we were to think about our interactions with Him, what would our life look like? What would your life look like if you had a complete trust that everything that God says in His Word, everything that God speaks would come to pass, everything that that He says is a way, a prescribed way of living, could be trustworthy? What if you actually believe that God is who He says He is? That He's going to do what He says He's going to do, that His Word is actually true and provides us with direction and instruction in our lives and places that we can go. How would your life look different if your trust, if your faith was actually at a place that you could just grab a hold of God and hear what He spoke to you through the Holy Spirit, grab a hold of what He spoke to you through other men and through circumstances that you come across and words from Scripture and go, I'm going to choose to believe that and I'm going to live my life that way and I know that God's going to meet me in that place and make things happen and bring me to places of blessing and joy and provision. What if we actually believe that? Because I think sometimes, I know in my life I have had some trouble in that area before. I'll read something in God's Word and go, God, did you, I don't know about that, right? Because it's different than the world's taught me how to live and how to think and what my experience has been. And so I have this wrestling match sometimes with God and go, man, God, I don't know about that. That what you're saying there is pretty tough to grab a hold of. Tough to believe. But what if we could get to a place that our faith was so strong that we could totally and completely trust who God is and what He says? And I believe, guys, that as we do that, as we dive into that, as our confidence with God is boosted, that we would see a marked difference in the way that we live our lives, in the way that we experience life. I think we would see everything different. I think we would approach our jobs from a completely different perspective, that we would go into that workplace and we would see opportunity there that we had never seen before, whether we like doing that job or not, whether we feel called to that job or not. I think we would see sickness in a different way, right? When our family gets attacked by some kind of illness or sickness, if our faith in God was so strong, was built to a place that we trusted God to take care of us, we would see those kinds of opposition that come against us in a whole different light. And I dare say that would change your life, right? It's changed mine. Being able to have faith in God and experience His goodness towards me has changed how I engage this life. And so that's what we're going to dive into, because somewhere along the way, I believe that humankind has quit trusting God. We've gotten to this place, like I say, that we got distracted, and we had some experiences in our life, and we say, man, I don't know if I can trust God. And it goes all the way back to the garden, right? When Adam and Eve said, God, You said that this tree, that we don't need to eat from it, that we would die if we eat from it, but I don't know if I believe You, because it looks like it's really good to eat. And so I think I'll just take matters into my own hand. I'm going to try that and see if what You said is true or not. What if we didn't have to try everything? Wow, how about that? What if we didn't have to learn the hard way? What if we could just listen to God, receive what He has for us, and experience the life that He wants to give us? And so that's where we're going to kind of dive in, because I believe that that Christianity, that this walk that we're on, this belief system that we have adopted into ourselves, is an opportunity for us to restore that relationship with God, that trust in God. And God is the story, if you look back all the way from the time of Adam and Eve, when they messed up in the garden and they said, God, I don't trust You. You look at the stories all the way through the Old Testament and through God's chosen people, the Israelites, and you make your way through each of those stories. It's story after story after story of God saying, I'm going to invade My people. I'm going to interact with My people. I'm going to give them some opportunities to trust Me. I'm going to welcome them back, send an invitation to them to trust Me again. You get all the way to Jesus and the cross, and you get all the way through the New Testament, and there's story after story and opportunity after opportunity where God is saying, guys, I want you to trust Me. I want your faith to be restored to a place where you can live life and enjoy your life, because you're doing it My way, and My ways are incredible ways. And I want you to be blessed, and I want you to live a life that's full of abundance. Right? We've been talking about that on Sunday mornings, that Jesus called us to have a life of abundance. And I believe that to be true. And so these stories lead us to a place where God is saying, ah, guys, your faith, I want your faith to be grown up, to be blown up to such a place that you can experience the fullness of life that I have to offer. I believe that God is most honored, most glorified when we live out this active, death-defying, risk-taking faith that He's called us to, where we take those chances. And sometimes, you know, we encounter people along our path that have lived out some pretty incredible stories, right? You hear about their circumstances. You hear about the things that they've come against, and you go, man, I wish I could have faith like that person. I wish I could endure an opposition like they have. I wish I could overcome. The deal is, guys, when you start talking to these people, and this is where some of this teaching is coming from, the five things that we're going to go through and talk about. You start asking questions to men who have gone farther along in this faith journey than you have. What is it about your faith, or what is it about your walk, that has gotten you to where you are? How do you do it? How do you succeed? How do you, in the face of a trial, you know, a devastating blow, and you still believe that God is who He says He is? How do you do that? And there's five things that we've seen over the years and through experiences and conversations and different things that we're going to talk about that God uses to grow our faith. The first one of those is practical teaching. We talked about this list, and we're going to go through these over the next five times I'm with you. Practical teaching shows us where we are and where we need to go. That's what we're going to cover today. The second thing is providential relationships. These allow us to hear from God through other people. That's one of the things that we do here at Bravehearts. We're building relationships with each other so that we can learn and grow through each other. The third thing, private disciplines tune our heart to God's heart. Number four, pivotal circumstances, the things that we come against in our life that are pivot moments, right? They give us an opportunity to change or go a different direction. These things that come against us force us to look at God. And number five, personal ministry, getting involved in what God's up to in the world enables us to experience God's power. And so we're going to look at these over the next few months, but today we're going to look at the importance of practical teaching. Practical teaching. When I first read that, when I was thinking about practical teaching, I go, you know what? I have a long history in the church. I grew up in the church. I've been around these kinds of buildings and these kinds of environments my entire life, literally. I was at my granddad's 90th birthday this past Saturday in a little church up in Happy, Texas. And if you go back in one of those classrooms in that church building, back there in the nursery where the little kids are, they had this apple tree painted on the wall, right? And there's apples all over this. Some lady did a beautiful mural there. And if you look on those apples, there's names of all the kids painted on those apples, right? Guys, I'm older now, right? But I could go in that classroom and I could look on that tree. My name is still on one of those apples 45 years later, right? I've been there. I started out in that church when I was wee little guy, right? I've been around these environments of hearing teaching my whole life. And I must admit, practical teaching or teaching and listening to sermons and being a part of that has not been one of the things that I've like just really grabbed a hold of throughout a lot of those years. And I've been thinking about that. Why is that? Why is that? In fact, my first Bravehearts experience, the first time I showed up in this place, I remembered it was about 11 years ago, maybe 12 years ago now, right? And there's a group of us guys, and I didn't know what to expect, and I came in, and there was an hour of teaching nonstop. We didn't do tables. We didn't have small groups. We didn't have worship. You know, we got in and Pastor Paul started teaching immediately for an hour straight, you know, just going at me. And I was going, boom, boom. I just felt like I was getting hit, you know, the whole time. And I walked out of there going, these guys are crazy. Who in their mind would show up at 6:30 in the morning to just be assaulted by a sermon? That's ridiculous, right? And I didn't show back up for about 6 weeks because I thought it was over the top, right? But what we see is, I am so glad that I came back, because these teachings that I have received in this place and in this environment, in this church, whether it's on Sunday morning, whether it's on at Bravehearts, have actually changed my life and led me to places that have changed my beliefs. They have changed my experiences. I have encountered God in a way through His Word that causes me to live differently. And if you look at the stories and you talk to guys that have a faith that's alive, you hear that message consistently. You know, I came to faith because I went to this this rally, and this guy was talking about the Bible, and he was sharing some stories from there, and it just really impacted my life, right? If you look back on your own journey in life, you think about, how did you come to faith? How have you grown? And my guess is that at some point along the way, someone was teaching the Bible in such a way that you heard it for the first time. Do you remember that moment? When it's like a light bulb comes on because of the way that they were teaching the truth of God's Word. They used stories that made it plain to you. They had practical applications or different things. And so this teaching of the Word is one of the practical ways that we learn. But not just learn, but we encounter God in a way that changes our life. We've been talking about men's retreat this morning. I still remember the first men's retreat I went to because I got encountered by God through practical teaching at that time. I remember one of the guys was talking about how we have pet sins in our life, things that we just really want to hold on to. And so those things that just keep coming up and keep bugging us and keep grabbing a hold of us, it's like we take a shoebox and we put those things in a shoebox and we tuck them under our bed, and we like to say, yeah, we're free of that. We don't struggle with that. It doesn't interact with me. It's okay. But then when times get kind of rough, we pull out that shoebox and we open that shoebox up, and we like to look at it and we like to touch it, and we think it'll make us feel better, right? And so that sin stays engaged. That teaching in my life helped me go free from some addictive behaviors that I had in my life because I chose to burn the shoebox that night and quit hiding those things in my life. Practical teaching has the ability to change our lives. And so our faith, we see, gets bigger when we don't just know more about the Bible. We don't just know more about God's Word, but we actually are given a way to put that together and what to do with the teaching that we received, what to do with God's Word. And there's this intersection of faith that makes it really practical in what we do with it. So if you've got your Bibles this morning, turn over to Matthew chapter 7. That's where we're going to be this morning. There's a story here that's real familiar to you guys if you've been around church any at all. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. And chapter 6 and chapter 7 there, Jesus is teaching, right? Chapter 5, I mean, it starts all the way back. There's a long list of teaching here that Jesus is gone through with these guys, and he's just unloaded this whole new value system on the guys that are there listening. He's gone through there, and he's really just flipped the traditional teaching system on its ear, because you see, they were in an environment where they would go to the tabernacle or the temple. They'd go to the temple, and they'd get all this training about what to believe, about the right way to do this and the right way to do that, and what the law says about this and what the law says about that. And they had all these rules and regulations, right? And they would show up and they would get trained about what to believe about God's law. And so Jesus just takes this whole thing in this Sermon on the Mount, when he throws out the teaching there, he dumps all of that tradition out of the way. And he says, guys, what the life with God is all about is not necessarily just what you believe, guys, but it's what you do about it. It's what you do with the teachings that I'm giving. It's what you do with your beliefs that makes all the difference. And so he says things like this. You know, the law says adultery is a sin, but I'm telling you guys, even lust is a sin. It gets you to that place of committing adultery. And so if you're not doing anything about that, you're going to end in this place, right? He says, man, the law says to retaliate when you're attacked. I tell you, turn the other cheek. Do something different. Live your life a different way. If someone wants a favor in your life, do more than he asks. Go the second mile with him. Money, right? Law says give a tithe. I'm telling you, give. Give till it hurts. Give. Just give it away. And he's saying this, guys, if you had big faith in God, if you really trusted God, here's not what you would believe, here's what you would do with it. And so, like, when it comes to giving, if you believe what God says, yes, that's one thing. But if you really trust that God's your provider and God's going to take care of everything, you're going to actually do something different in your life. You might actually be generous rather than just thinking about being generous, right? You might forgive people no matter what, even if it feels like you're letting them get by with stuff, because you actually believe that God's going to take care of it, and he's going to work it out, and he's going to sort it out, and he's going to do that. You know, you're going to actually pursue people who have wronged you, and you're going to make things right with them, because you believe that God is a God of reconciliation and restoration and would support you in mending that relationship rather than just being mad at people your whole life. If we had big faith in God, it would change what we do. So Matthew, and guys, I want to be clear about this as we're talking about what we do, that we don't do these things. We don't follow the things that God puts out in the Bible to earn our favor with God, right? Jesus is simply saying, you've put your faith in God and you say that you believe that he is for you and that he's supporting you. We do these things. We act out the things that we learn from the Bible because we trust God and we want to experience more of that faithfulness. That's a big distinction there. We're not trying to earn our favor with God. We're not trying to impress him. We're not trying to show off how cool we are or how together we have it or how good our behavior can be. We're simply making a declaration. God, I believe you. When you say that you want me to do life this way, I'm going to choose to live that way, and I'm going to encounter you in that place, that intersection. So Matthew 7:24. After Jesus had done all this, had told these guys, you know, we're going to do this thing a different way. It's not just about what you believe. It's about what you do with it. He says this. I'm going to have to read it in my notes because the print's bigger. This print's little. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. And so Jesus is saying that here, if you hear my teaching, right? He says, if you hear these words of mine, that's enough, right? If you just listen to me and you change your beliefs, then you're going to get by in life. Is that what he's saying? No. He goes on, if you hear these words, if you change your belief, if you show up here and you put them into practice, it's like building your house on a rock. You're going to have a firm foundation, a steady place from which to live. Jesus was saying that in order for his teaching to have any impact in your life, any value in your life, that you're going to have to do something with it. Believing is not enough. Guys, attendance is not enough. Showing up here at Bravehearts every single Tuesday, like I have for the last 10 or 12 years, I've been here a lot. But showing up here has not changed my life. Because if I receive teaching every single week from men of God who have gone farther down the path, who reveal God's word to me, and I don't choose to live my life any different because of what I heard, it doesn't do me any good. Guys, we don't get a gold star for showing up today. God's not up there taking attendance. Tyke might be taking attendance today. Right? But God's not taking attendance. You don't get brownie points with God for showing up here. What makes a difference in your life is when you actually choose to grab a hold of what's being shared with you and you live your life differently as a result. Amen. And you grab a hold of that. Amen. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. Our American culture leads us to believe that we can just learn a lot of stuff, fill our minds with all kinds of knowledge and all kinds of understanding, and that we would get our theology right and we would believe everything just to be so. But guys, I don't care what you believe if you don't do anything with it, because that belief doesn't change. You actually haven't believed it if your life doesn't change, if your actions don't change. And so the teachings of Jesus are confrontive, and they cause us, they call us in here to say, guys, God is wanting you to do life in a different way than you would normally do it on your own. And because of choosing to live your life in a different way, you're going to be blessed for it. God's going to meet you in that place and empower you and lead you into paths of righteousness, of peace, of joy. These fruits of the Spirit that we've been talking about on Sunday morning, you're going to experience these things when you choose to listen to my word, to believe my word, and then do your life differently as a result. And that's what I want to encourage you guys this morning. That we've actually got to take some steps to make a difference. So I brought some M&Ms this morning. M&Ms are one of my favorite. I got these for Christmas. And I opened up my stocking and there was this gigantic bucket of M&Ms in here in my stocking. And I said, wow, somebody in my family really loves me. They've given me a year's supply of M&Ms. Right? And so I'm looking at that thing and I'm going, man, that's a lot of M&Ms. You know what? And I kind of got mad. I don't think they wanted to bless me with a year's supply of M&Ms. I think they're attacking my wife. They're saying they want Jill to live with a fat man. And then I go, wait a minute. I think somebody might be out to get me here, right? They want to do me in, because when I eat all these, it might kill me, right? They're doing me in. And so I had these M&Ms, and I was thinking all these thoughts, and man, I like M&Ms. And so I read on here, it says pantry size on the M&M bucket. And I go, yeah, it's going to take a pantry to hold that bucket, you know, that doesn't just sit on your desk, right? And then I thought, well, if I stick them in the pantry, that'll be like hidden in the back, right? And I'll just stick them back there in the back of the pantry, and then I won't be tempted to eat them as much, right? I still knew where they were, right? And so I find myself going in there, unscrewing the lid, you know, reaching around behind the box. I tried to hide them by and grabbing a few M&Ms out of there. And this morning I thought about these M&Ms, and I went in there to grab the bucket of M&Ms as an example, and I realized I found the bucket like this. the lid wasn't even on it anymore. They're still hidden back there, but I didn't even bother to put the lid back on, right? And as you can see, if this is a year's supply of M&Ms, they're already half gone, and we're only 2 weeks into January. So that's where I realized that pantry size means if I eat all these M&Ms, I'm going to become the size of a pantry. So here's the deal. I know that M&Ms are not good for my health, right? I know if I eat all of those M&Ms, it is not going to go well for me. But I have obviously not chosen to align my behavior with my belief, because I keep dipping into them. I keep grabbing some M&Ms. I keep eating them. And so I'm going to reap the reward or the decimation of eating all these M&Ms. And next time I see you, my shirt's going to be sticking a lot farther out. Because you see, guys, it doesn't matter what we believe. We can believe all the good things we want to about nutrition, about exercise. But if we don't actually ever put it into practice, what good is it? If I don't stop eating the M&Ms, they're going to kill me one day. And so my beliefs have to change and my behaviors have to change. And so verse 25 goes on to say, the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew, and they beat against the house, and it didn't fall because it had its foundation on the rock. You see, the people actually chose to read the weather forecast. They heard that a storm was coming, and they didn't just buckle down and go, man, I hope we make it through it. They actually made preparation and said, we're going to build our house on a firm foundation that's going to last when that storm hits me. And guys, our life is full of storms that are going to come against us. And so when you see those storms coming, you know that they're going to come, and God gives you a prescription on how to build your life. You've got to make a choice to do something different, to build a foundation on a rock and not on sand, as it goes on to say. Because he says this, everyone who hears these words, everyone who shows up to Brave Hearts, everyone who has great church attendance, everyone who sits under teaching all the time and actually changes their beliefs about me, but they do not put them into practice, is like what? A foolish man who built his house on the sand. And so the implication is this, that you can believe, you can attend church all the time, and you can still be a fool. When the storms of life come against you, you can believe in God all day long and still have a disaster of a life, because you've refused to put into practice the things that he's asked us to do. You can hear those things all day long, guys, but if we don't apply what we hear, it doesn't do us any good. And so verse 27 says, the rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew, and they beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash, because they didn't choose to build their house on a rock. They didn't choose to hear the warning and do it any different. And I love this part, verse 28. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. And so it begs me to ask that question. Why were they amazed? What grabbed them so much? Why were they amazed? It says, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. You see, the guys, they had been under teaching that challenge them to believe differently, to know a lot of information about God, but not to actually experience his power in their everyday life. You see, Jesus' teaching moved people to action. Their teachers helped them to know more. Jesus moved them to do more. And so practical teaching leads us to a place. When we put ourselves in this kind of environment where we're listening to God's word being spoken to us and being taught from the Bible, when we're putting ourselves under practical teaching, it leads us to this place where our obedience, our acts of faith, when we choose to do something with what we've received, those places intersect with God's faithfulness. We talk about that a lot. We sing about that a lot. When those places of intersection happen, God is so present and so so obvious to us in those moments that our faith wells up and it gets bigger and it gets stronger. And these intersections of us stepping out in faith and then God meeting us in those places causes our faith to grow and grow and grow. Let me give you a practical example of this. So a few years ago when we were deciding to build this building, right? It was going to take a lot of money to do that. And so we made an appeal to the church and we said, guys, we want to ask you to commit to giving above and beyond your regular tithes to help get this building because we want to make room for people. We want to have a space for people to encounter God. And so Jill and I prayed about that and we said, God, what do you want us to do? How much do you want us to give? And we were sitting, I remember, at the Broadway Brew, and we were talking about, we had a pledge card there, and we were deciding what we wanted to do, and we were hearing God, but we weren't really liking what we were hearing, because it was a number way bigger than I thought I could handle. You see, I worked at the church at the time, and I'm thinking, well, God, I work there. I mean, do I have to participate in this, right? I mean, this is for them to participate in, right? I mean, it's not like I'm on sales commission here. When the tithes go up, I don't get more money, you know? I'm limited here in what I can earn and what I can give. And there's only so many things I can cut back. And that number, I don't know if we can do that. And so Jill and I were laboring over that and praying over that. And they said, you know what? God, we're going to step out in faith. We believe that we heard this number from you. And so we're going to choose to do it. And we have no idea how we're going to write that check every month. Because in our current budget, there is not that much excess. And I don't know what else we can cut. I don't know how we're going to do it. But we believe and we have faith. And so we took some action. And we signed that little pledge card. And we put that number on there. And we're sweating while we're doing it. Going, God, I hope you show up. I hope you take care of us. I'm going to believe that you do. But it'll be a miracle. Right? And so we signed that pledge card with that number on there. And literally, guys, within 30 seconds of signing that and saying, we're going to do this and trust God, Jill's phone rang. And she picked it up and said, I don't know who that is. So she answered it. She's like, hello? Hey, we heard that you're a registered nurse and we really need a registered nurse and that we heard that you're not working right now. Would you like to come to work for us? Like that. God answered our prayer, provided a way. Guys, our faith shot through the roof in that moment because we stepped out in faith, not knowing what God was going to do. We made a commitment, and God met us in that moment. Sometimes it happens immediately. Sometimes it takes a while. The point is, when we have those places that we take action and we actually do something with what we've heard, God meets us there, and our faith grows. So here's the deal. Unapplied truth is like unapplied paint. It doesn't do anybody any good when the paint bucket's sitting in the garage. You got to take out the paintbrush and you got to get the bucket and you got to pour the paint out. You have all the resources have been provided to you. When you put yourself into teaching environments like we have here at Harvest, guys, we try our very best to give you a paintbrush, to give you the tool, to give you a drop cloth, to give you all the tools and resources and everything that we can from God's Word, and to teach that in such a way that you can grab a hold of it. But you have to choose to take the paintbrush, to dip it in the bucket, and to put it on the wall. Amen. It's your choice. It's your choice what you do with the teaching that you receive. And so this morning, I want to encourage you that application really does make all the difference. When you choose to go to work, when you choose to put into action the things that you hear from the Bible, God's going to meet you there. He says this, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. Our obedience unleashes the faithfulness of God in our lives, and we experience him in powerful ways. So imagine how your life would look different. Imagine if you stepped out in faith today. You heard God speak to you. You learned something in the Bible. Truth was revealed to you, and you chose to do something different. How would your life change? How would it be different? Because, my friends, if you put yourself in a place of receiving practical teaching on a regular basis, and then you take that teaching, what you heard from God, and you put it into action in your life will be different, and your faith will grow. And our faith, guys, is what leads us into an incredible relationship and experience with God. Your faith grows and grows and grows and grows as you obey what he's asking you to do. Let me pray for you this morning. God, we thank you that you have given us teaching from your word, practical things from the Bible that help us live a life that is empowered to make a difference. God, your word is a light unto our path. Your word gives us direction in our life. Your word helps us see the ways that we ought to go. It helps us know how to do life better. And so, God, my prayer is for these men this morning that they would choose to hear your word and then do something with it. Put it into practice. Apply it in their life. God, that they would actually experience a boost in their faith when you encounter them in those places and they take a risk. And they say, God, I don't understand how this works. This principle I'm hearing in the Bible, I don't understand how it works. But I know, God, that you are going to meet me in that place. And you're going to show yourself faithful. And I'm going to trust. And I'm going to step out. I'm going to do what you ask me to do so that I can experience the provision that you say that you're going to provide. And this morning, God, I pray that you would open our hearts to receive words of truth from you. And that you would empower us by your Holy Spirit to take bold risks of faith to step into the things that you've called us to do. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.